Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. Tonight's message will be brought to you by Pastor Jeff Arthur, pastor of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Good Hope Through Grace is a radio broadcast ministry of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. For more messages from Jeff Arthur or more information on Elizabeth Baptist Church, please visit our website at www.ghtg.org.
Tonight we're going to be again in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're wrapping up our study through the book of 2 Corinthians, and what we're wrapping it up with is a slight teaching on the word saints. We're covering different purposes, different truths concerning the saints of God. One of the title names for God's people is they are called saints. They are called disciples. They are called Christians. And each one you can do a series of messages on, but we need to focus, I think, on this word saints because it's often abused. And what we need to do is bring out in the scripture truths about saints. Now, we're looking at 10. As a matter of fact, this study that we're doing right now on 2 Corinthians 13, in the verse 13, which says, "All the saints salute you," we're bringing out 10 truths. We've looked at 6. And let me give you a brief review of what we've looked at so far. Of course, the meaning of the word saint means a holy one or a sanctified one. And it carries the idea is that a saint is someone that has been set apart for a holy purpose. You are made a saint in Christ Jesus. That's the only way you can become a saint. You don't become a saint based on your deeds, and that's one of the great errors that is taught today, is you become a saint based on what all you've done or what all you do, and you become a saint after you're dead. But it's eternally too late to become a saint after you're dead. And you don't become a saint by your works, you become a saint by grace. And of course, once you become a saint, you work because you love the Lord, and you want to bring honor and glory and praise to his name. So that's the first truth we looked at. We showed you the meaning of the word saint. Then secondly, we showed that you become a saint in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1 and verse 1, to the saints which are in Christ Jesus. How you get in Jesus? You get in Jesus by faith. Third truth we looked at last week is that we are fellow citizens, Ephesians 2:19, fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And we pointed out there that when you're a saint, you become a saint by faith in Christ Jesus. Remember that. But when you become a saint, you have citizenship. And you have citizenship in the kingdom of God. Now, that's the most important place to have citizenship at. The book of Philippians chapter 3, it talks about, it says, our conversation is above. Let me read Philippians 3:20 here real fast for you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, talking about our citizenship. And, of course, the most important thing is to be a citizen in his kingdom. It says, for our conversation is in heaven. And the word conversation there carries the idea of citizenship. We are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Fellow citizen. When you're born again, you're a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God. You're a part of his family. Then number 4, Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:12, taught that we are called to be saints. And we pointed out that's an inward calling. And that, of course, the day you is born again, the Lord calls you. Romans 1:7 says you're called to be a saint. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:12 said you were called to be a saint. And it's a inward calling, and the Holy Spirit opens your heart, opens your understanding. You see Christ, and you trust him as Savior. Romans 8:29-30 says, whom he calls, he justifies. So that's the inward calling. There's an outward call, and I'm doing that every time I preach the gospel. Every time I preach God's word, I call outwardly for people to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the inward call is a call of the Holy Spirit, and he opens the heart in the inward call, and he draws you to himself. book of Galatians of the Apostle Paul says that when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Paul's talking about the inward call that he received the day he was saved. So the fourth proof we've seen is that you're called to be a saint. The fifth one was in Revelations chapter 19 and verse 8. And in Revelations 19 and 8, it says, it speaks of the righteousness of the saints. And we pointed out from that text that when you're a saint, of course, you become a saint today. You trust Christ as your Savior. Then you have charged to your account his righteousness. And it's referred to as imputed righteousness. He imputes, according to the Romans chapter 4, he imputes righteousness without works. Sometimes people might ask you, and this is a good question for you to ask yourself, how much righteousness does it take to go to heaven? It takes 100%. You say, well, Pastor, that leaves me out too. We have 100% righteousness in Jesus. There's only been one perfect man, and that's Christ. And when you receive him as your Savior, he charges your sin to him, and he charges his righteousness to you. One of the things that people have forgotten, and if Jesus mentioned in Matthew 6:33, we need to seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom and his righteousness. So the fifth truth we saw is the righteousness of the saints is imputed righteousness, but they also have imparted righteousness. They seek to live right, but they're not doing it to get saved by living right. That'd be salvation by work, salvation's by grace. But those saved by grace seeks to live soberly and righteously and godly in this world because they represent Jesus. And they have a desire to in their heart, and they want to be a good ambassador for his cause. Last week, the sixth truth about saints that we pointed out in 1 Corinthians 14 and the verse 32, it speaks of the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the verse 3, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches." Plural, all the churches of the saints. And, of course, after that you're born again and trusted Christ as your Savior, you need a church. Saints need to assemble at a local assembly where they can be part of a congregation, where they can be taught the Word of God, where they have a pastor, teacher, and where they can assemble together as a flock. And Hebrews 10 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, that's what we looked at last week. I had to give that review. In order to finish this, I got four truths to deal with tonight that goes with what I've already given you. So let's go ahead and move on to tonight's message. This is 10 truths about saints. 10 truths about saints. And the truth that we're going to show tonight, we'll look at a total of four. We'll look at the conduct of the saints, the inheritance of the saints, the coming of the saints, and the intercession for the saints. So those will be the four truths that we look at tonight. Okay. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3 will give us the first truth we want to look at tonight, and it's the conduct of the saints. And in this series, this will be number 7. Remember, it's 10 truths concerning the saints. This will be number 7. Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Now, It mentions fornication. Of course, fornication is a broad term. It's the Greek word pornea. It's where we get the word porno from. And it includes all types of illicit immorality. It includes homosexuality. It includes adultery. It includes sex outside the bonds of marriage. Everything you can put, any type of illicit sexual behavior, you can put under this term fornication. Uncleanliness, all of these words are related. Or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. So basically all three words, covetousness is a desire for more. And the way that it's listed in a verse that talking about immorality. So all three verses, fornication, uncleanliness, and covetousness, covetousness would be unrestrained, unsatisfied immorality. So, good description of the last days, but really, it's always been amongst men. It's always been amongst the Gentile nations. Men have always had a problem with immorality. But once you become a saint, see what it says here is that it let it not be once named among you as becomes a saint. And now that you're a child of God, you are to seek to avoid sexual immorality. And I tell you one thing, folks, that'll set you apart. That'll show you to be different. Our nation is filled with immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we've seen this when we talked through 1 Corinthians. It says to flee fornication, run from it. Flee from it as you would a poisonous snake. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What do you not know? That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. So the conduct of a saint is that they are to put away sexual immorality. Their conduct is to be such that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Book 1 Thessalonians 4 and the verse 4 says that we are to possess our vessel, and our vessel is our body. And let me go ahead and read the text. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Now on down in the text, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Well, the conduct of the saints are to conduct themselves in a godly fashion. They are to conduct themselves in sanctification and in honor. And one of the problems today amongst many of those that profess faith in Jesus is they conduct themselves just like the world. Scripture says we are to let our light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father. That's the purpose of good works, is to bring glory to the one that saved you. The reason why God's people have lost their influence in America is because they live too much like the world does. There should be a clear-cut distinction in the way God's people live and the way the world lives. They have the same nasty lifestyles, same nasty habits. But I'm telling you, my friend, God's called you to be different. The conduct of the saints is to be holy in your deportment and in the way that you conduct yourself. And how that's done is by staying close to Jesus, staying in his house, staying in his word, staying in close contact with him through the means of prayer, running with people that fear the Lord. That'll keep you conducting your vessel in sanctification and in honor. So let me ask you a question. How's your conduct if you know Jesus? How is your conduct? And if it's not what it should be, you need to repent of that. Ask the Lord to forgive you and get back close to Him again where you need to be. That's where joy's at anyhow. If you're truly saved, you can't be happy living in sin. You can't be happy out of fellowship with the Lord. Closeness with Jesus is the key to joy. And in order to have a close walk with Him, you need to walk as He walked. You need to seek to get close to Him and live in such a fashion as is pleasing unto Him. Well, let's move on. We've looked at the conduct of the saints. Now let's just talk a little bit about the inheritance of the saints. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, we have a glorious inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in the verse 3, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Calls upon us to basically praise the Lord. "According as His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fades not away, and that is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God." The saints have an inheritance. And my friend, when you got the saints' inheritance, you got the greatest inheritance that you could possibly have. Colossians 1:12 says, "We are to give thanks for our inheritance." And you should give thanks for it every day. "Giving thanks," Colossians 1:12, "giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet." And the idea of the word meet is fit. The only way you can be fitting for heaven, my friend, is to be in Christ, who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. See, the saints have an inheritance. And when 1 Peter talks about in chapter 1 and verse 3 through 5, this inheritance is a heavenly inheritance because it's said to be reserved in heaven for you. My friend, that inheritance of the saints is kept in the bank vaults of glory. And not only is the inheritance kept, but also the saint is kept until the day that he gets it. Let me read that together now. This is a blessing. It says that we have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us, 1 Peter 1:4. It says it's reserved, and the idea of reserved means it's guarded. It's guarded in heaven. It's there waiting on you. It's a heavenly inheritance. Then verse 5 says that who are kept by the power of God. So not only is the inheritance kept for you, but the heir, which is the saint, they are kept by the power of God until the day they get it. Oh, my friend, you ought to thank God for your inheritance, but you also ought to thank God that you're kept by the power of God. If you wasn't kept by God's power, you'd never make it. God's your keeper. God's your keeper. And He preserves you. And aren't you glad? Gospel of John chapter 10, in talking about His sheep, He says in verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them. And they follow Me." He's known them since before the foundation of the world, my friend. And it says they will hear His voice. There was a day when they received that inward call and they see Christ Jesus as their Savior. And they trust Him by faith. And then the Lord gives them eternal life. Eternal life's not something you're going to get out in the future. You get all the benefits of it out in the future. But the life you received in the new birth, the day that you were saved, that is eternal life. I have eternal life. It says in verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life." That's what salvation is. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages or the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. That's what salvation is. When you're saved, that's what the Lord gives you. Eternal life's a gift. It's not a prize you earn. It's a gift you receive. In Romans 6:23, when it talks about eternal life, it calls eternal life a gift. It doesn't call it a wage. What's the difference between a wage and a gift? A wage is something you work for. A gift is something someone else works for, pays the price for, and gives it to you, and you receive it. That's the difference. You need to know the difference between a wage and a gift, because there's a great deal of people that's going to miss heaven because they think eternal life is a wage that they earn. Jesus earned eternal life. Jesus is the one that lived it then and lived a 100% perfect life, went to the cross of Calvary, paid our sin debt, rose the third day victorious over sin, death, and hell, and he gives you eternal life. He calls it a gift because he purchased it. He calls it he didn't call it a wage because you don't purchase it. He did. He gives it to you, and what you do is receive it. So he gives unto his sheep eternal life, and it says they shall never perish. So, now that's a tremendous promise, isn't it? They shall never perish. How can he promise that a sheep will never perish? Well, my friend, it tells you, it says right here in verse 28, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Well, the reason why, we remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that we are kept by the power of God. And here in John chapter 10, it says that we are in his hand. It says nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. Then he says in verse 20, actually that's Jesus speaking, talking about his hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now look at this now. Here we're pictured as being in Jesus' hand. And then in verse 28. And then in verse 29, we're pictured as being in the Father's hand. And then if you put two hands together, like if you have something in your hand that you don't want it to jump out, you'll cut both hands, one on the bottom and one cupped over the top, and that's the picture. You talk about good hands to be in. You're in the Son's hand and you're in the Father's hand. And you bring two hands together when you don't want to lose something. And he says, I and my Father are one. So the saint is kept by the power of God until the day that he gets the inheritance that the Lord has obtained for him. The saints will receive an inheritance. My friend, you can get an earthly inheritance and it might last a day. It could last 10 or 20 years, but it's still eventually you'll lose it. But a heavenly inheritance, my friend, lasts forever. And in order to have an inheritance, a reservation in glory, you have to be a saint, and you become a saint by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, let's move on to our ninth truth concerning saints. Our ninth truth, third tonight. Now remember, if you missed last week's message, you can go on our website at www.ghtg.org and you can get last week's message too. And in that, I give six truths, and tonight I'm finishing it by giving four more. This message is entitled 10 Truths About Saints. And tonight we've noticed the conduct of the saints is to be godly. We've looked at the inheritance of the saints, and now let's look at the third truth tonight that we're looking at, and we're talking about the coming of the saints. You know, I got people that I love that have passed, and they've died in Christ. And you know where they're at today? Well, they're with the Lord. Absent from the body when you're saved is to be present with the Lord. It's a glorious thing. And now, folks, you just need to consider something. One of these days, you're going to die. It's just such a wasted life to live for this present world. Eventually, you can be the richest man in the world, but the day you die, none of that goes with you. You're not rich unless you have victory over death. Unless you have everlasting life, you're not rich. If you don't go to heaven at the end of your days, you're not successful. If you die and go to hell at the end of your days, you're not successful. In order to be successful, you need to have a home in the Father's house, and you need to have victory over the grave. That's what being a true success really is. Is when you, where you go when you die is what determines how successful you are. If you go off to be with the Lord, yes, then that's a very successful life. But if you lose everything at death and go off to hell for eternity, then you're not successful. So you need to keep the priorities where they need to be. One of these days, the Lord's going to come again, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to bring his saints with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable, holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. He's bringing his saints with him. When he comes again, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ rise first. Where are they at now? Well, they're in heaven with the Lord. They're in spirit. Their spirit left their body the day that they were saved. And that's the reason why, when Stephen died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His spirit went off to be with the Lord. When Jesus comes again, there'll be a resurrection, and those saints in heaven will receive a body. Body like Christ, without sin, never get sick, never age, never die. A body fit for eternity. Well, that's called the resurrection of the just. That's called the first resurrection. Well, when Jesus comes, he's bringing the saints with him. And of course, those saints which are alive and remain, they'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. So the saints will, those that have died in Christ will be coming again, and when Jesus comes again, they're coming with him. And then we'll be caught up to be with them in the air, and that will be the happy reunion day. So that's the coming of the saints. Last of all, running out of time, the intercession for the saints. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 27, the Lord intercedes for the saints. Isn't it great to have an intercessor? He prays for us. Jesus represents us in glory. Holy Spirit says, it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Intercedes for us. Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And in heaven, Jesus in 1 John 2 is seen as our advocate. And he makes intercession for us. So you have the Holy Spirit interceding for you on earth. You have Jesus interceding for you in heaven. You talk about a great prayer team, number one prayer team they are. He intercedes on your behalf according to the will of God. And Hebrews 7 says, that's why you're saved to the uttermost. Well, folks, I'm running out of time. That's 10 truths concerning saints. The important thing tonight for you is, are you a saint? Are you a saint or a sinner? One or the other. And if you'll trust Christ Jesus, the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on him, he'll save you. You trust that he died for you and rose again the third day. You trust that gospel message, he'll save you right there where you're saying, and you'll become a saint. And these 10 truths that we spoke of these past 2 weeks will also be true of you. Thank you for listening.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening or anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is brought to you by Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.